Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin, Daf Pei Beis. We will begin Beizer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom, Uparos Chatas. In our previous shiur, we had discussed, in the Mishnah, various situations of Shechitas that the Mishnah had held was a Shechitas She'en Aruya, and therefore was the subject of a machlokes of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. Because Rav Shimon's opinion is, the shechita she'en aruya lo shema shechita, it's not considered an act of shechita. If it's not considered an act of shechita, so if the first animal was slaughtered, or frankly the second animal was slaughtered with a shechita she'en aruya, then it's not a shechita and it's not subject to the rules of Eisav Espinoy. The Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon, as we've been learning in our sugyas. And the Rabbanan opinion is that shechita she'en aruya shma shechita. If a shechita she'en aruya is considered an act of shechita, then the halachas of Eisav Vespinoi would be applicable. One of the examples the Mishnah gave of a shechita she'en aruya is when one shechs a para chatas. Paras chatas, as we explained, is the para aduma, which is slaughtered and the ashes are burnt and used to make the mixture of the ashes and the mai chayim, which is used to put on the person who's tamei in the third day and seventh day, like that he becomes tar if he was a tamei mace. And the Mishnah said that shechting the paras chatas is an example of a shechita she'en aruya, which would be subject to the machlokes that we just learned, that just mentioned between Rav Shimon and Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, Uparas Chatas, is that actually accurate that a Paras Chatas should be considered a Shechita She'en Aruya? For Tanya, the Braisa speaks about the Paraduma, and even though it speaks about the Tumas Oichlim, we know that a food is subject to Tuma. And the question is the Paraduma meat subject to Tumas Eichlem? And Rav Shimon's opinion is that it's metama, that it is subject to Tumas Eichlem. Why? Hoyel v'hois lo shasa kosher. Since there was a time when it could be eaten. What was that time? Amar Rav Shimon b'lokish. Amar Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon tells us, para niftas agaba merachta, that if somebody shechted a para aduma, even though it was already slaughtered, and it could still be redeemed. And since it could be redeemed, it gets the status of a food. And since it has the status of a food, the halacha is that it's subject to Tumas Eichlem. Why can it be redeemed? So there are really two concepts that need to be understood to say why it can be redeemed. Number one, as we often have mentioned, there are two types of hegdish. There's something that has kedushas aguf, an animal which is a carbon, and something which has kedushas aguf cannot be redeemed, and something which only has kedushas bedek abayis can be redeemed. Furthermore, yes, we identify an animal to be a para aduma, and we give it a kedushas bedek abayis, but once we shechted it, isn't that already have made into being a para aduma? The answer is somewhat. Because the halacha tells us that were we to find a nicer para aduma, then the halacha would tell us that we should redeem, it's only better kabayis kedusha anyway, redeem that first para aduma and use the second animal, which is the nicer animal. If we're going to redeem the first animal, what that will mean is that it's going to be used for regular food. And that's why it's subject to Tumas Eichlem. So we see from here that it's considered a shechita ruya. It's considered a shechita for eating. So the Gemara's question is, why is that therefore mentioned in the Mishnah as an example of a shechita she'en aruya? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Shem Baraba, Amrav Yochran, Paras Chatas in the Mishnah. Indeed, we have to remove from the Mishnah the example of Paras Chatas. The next example the Gemara gave, the Mishnah gave of a shechita she'en aruya, was the Egla Rufa. And again, ask the Gemara, the Egla Rufa Lav shchita ruyehu. Was that glaruf an example of a proper shchita, of a shchita that can be eaten? Tanan, the Mishnah, Mesach the Soita, the Mem Zayinam and Aleph teaches us, Nimtza hayrig ad shloi tarif. We know that Allah again, of Agla Rufa is, if we find a corpse, like Noidami Ku, we don't know who killed this corpse. We bring an Agla Rufa, we measure with the city that's closest to the corpse is the one that brings the Agla Rufa, it's decapitated. But the Allah is, let's say if the murderer is found. So if the murderer is found, there's no need to go through the Agla Rufa procedure. Nimtzas haruf hayrik achal tarf hagola tates of a tiraba edif. It could go out and be used as a regular animal because we don't need the egla rufa. So we see that if it was slaughtered before the arifa took place, it's a full-fledged maisa shchita. So why would that not be considered a shchita ruya? Why would Rav Shimon say it's not subject? Why would Rav Shimon say it's not subject to the halachis of Oisav Espanoi? And again, suggests the Gemara. Amar Rav Shimon Belokish Mishum Rav Yanai, Egla Rufa in a Mishnah, Egla Rufa should be omitted from the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Mi Amar Rav Yanai Hachi, is that true that the Egla Rufa could become mutter? From Rav Yanai, when he speaks about the Alocha of Egla Rufa, and the Alocha that Egla Rufa is also Bahano, Gvul Shemati Ba, I heard a point, at what point we may not have enough from it. However, v'shachachti, I forgot what that is. V'nazman chavrai, but my colleagues reminded me, loy ma yudas lo nacha esrosoi. The halacha is that the egla rufa has to be taken down to a certain type of a valley. At that point, it becomes osba anor. Vim isa, and if what we're saying is correct, we could explain as follows. Why do we have to say that Egla Rufa in a Mishnah, which is something that we're reluctant to do. We're reluctant just to take words out of our Mishnah, to delete words from our Mishnah. Why don't we answer that before Kan, the Mishnah Masechta Saita that says that it's Mutabano is because it's before it was taken down to the Nachal. For Kan, Lacha, you read that. Answers the Gemara, Amra Pichas Breder of Ami, Anan Mishmeder of Shimba Lokish Masninala, Shegla Rufa in a Mishnah. He says, I learned that that in the name of Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Ish Lakish, that it's not a Mishnah. And indeed, according to Rav Yanai, there would be a way of explaining, it makes a difference at what point, is it before it went down to Nachal Eisen or after. Says Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi Kavina Bei Rapapi, he says, when we went to Yeshiva Rapapi, Kashalon, we had the same question. Me, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that did he say, Hachi, the Negla Rufa is considered shchitim ruya vetmar, but there's another example. Tzipari mitzayra. We know that part of the purification process of the mitzayra, part of the purification process of the mitzayra, is to bring two birds. And the halacha is at what point or from what point? Memesai nasarim. From what point do they become? Do they become osur ba'anah? Rav Yochanan Mishah Shchita, they become osur from the time of Shchita. That means as follows. There are two birds that are brought. The one brought bird is slaughtered and we spritz the blood on the Mitzayra. And the other bird is sent away, is sent out to fly away. So the bird that's going to be sent away, that loch is, does not become osur ba'anah. And as the Gemara explains, because loy omra Torah shlach l'takala, the Torah did not suggest that we should send away that bird, and I'm catching a bird for dinner. I don't know that that bird was brought from Mitzayra, and it's going to end up that I'm eating a bird that's osu hanoah. So that bird doesn't become osu hanoah. The bird that was shechted becomes osu from the time of Shechita. Shlach l'shamim shas l'kicha, from when they're actually bought for the Mitzayra. From in my time, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, where does Rav Shimon ben Lakish take this from? It says, Goma kicham egla rufa. He learns Xer Shava, connecting the halacha of egla rufa and the birds of the Mitzayra. By the egla rufa, the Torah says, V'lachu zikne ir he egla spaker, the word kicha. By the tzarparim Mitzayra, the Torah says, V'lachach lematash, de tzarparim chayis, Torahs. So we see, according to Rish Lakish, the Egla Rufa becomes Asur immediately, and the Tzipirim become Asur immediately. So if that's why, if they become Asur immediately, so now, if that's the case, the Egla Rufa, if it doesn't become Asur right away, Egla Rufa is Eina Mishnah. But according to Rish Lakish, the Egla Rufa is a Shchitish Eneruya, and that's why, according to Rav Shimna, belongs in our Mishnah. Elam Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Egla Rufa in a Mishnah, not Rish Lakish holds that way, but it's because, indeed, it never was a Shechita Ruya, but according to Rav Yochanan, we could understand why it should be taken out, because according to him, it is a Shechita Ruya, at least up to a certain point, and therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's subject, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's subject to the dinim of Eisu Espenai. Says the Mishnah, Shnaim Shalacha Para. If two people bought animals from one person that sold it, Para, one bought the mother, the cow, and another one bought this child, Eza Shalacha Rishon, and now both of them, as we've been learning so extensively, we can't check both of them one day. So who gets the right to shecht it the first day? The halacha is Rishon, Shalakach Rishon, the one, Eza Shalakach Rishon, the one that bought the first animal, he gets first rights, Yishchot Rishon, he should be the one to shecht first. However, Vim Kedem Hasheni, if the second one bought it, then Zacha, then he won out. This halacha that we're learning, the Mishnah says, the Rosh, is only in a situation where the two of us bought it from the same individual. And therefore, since the two of us bought it from the same individual, the first come, first serve, so to speak. But what happens if the two of them bought it from two different people? So the Rosh says that the Mishnah is not offering an opinion who should get the right to shecht first. The Bach says, that is the job of Beis Din to see and determine who should get the one, who should be the one to get first. The way I saw what the Bach means to say, that we see who has a greater need for this animal. That's one suggestion. Another suggestion that the Bach says that the Beis Din should make a Goyrel. The Taz takes a different approach. The Taz approach is that this is not something that the Beis Din should, this is not something then the Beis Din should get involved with. But the Mishnah says that if two of us bought it from one person, then the first one has the first right to shecht it. And Rashi explains that this is based on a Tosefta that says that when somebody sells an animal, there's an implied understanding that the seller agrees to not shecht the other animal that he has left, the parent or the child. And therefore, when the seller is now selling the second animal to the second buyer, when you sell something, you sell whatever rights you have in what you're selling to someone else. So if your rights were limited, that you couldn't shecht it, you can't sell more than that. And that's why the second person will not be allowed to shecht it, the right to the first person. The Tfuah Shor says, what will be the halacha if the person who sold the animal is a non-Jew? He says, going back to what we've been learning in our shiurim, the shechita of a nachri is certainly a shechita she'en aruya, and therefore, when a non-Jew, and he doesn't have the halachas of oisa ves benoi, if a Jew is selling the parent and the child, so this Jewish seller is limited to the halachas of Isis Benoi, and therefore, when he's selling, he only can be selling what he owns. And if he doesn't have a right to sell to shecht that day, he doesn't have a right to sell a right to shecht that day. A nachri doesn't have that right. The Levosh says that even if you're buying it from a Jewish seller, There's not an implied right that the first person is the one to shecht today, only if he notified the seller that I bought the animal for meat. But if he did not notify the animal, the seller, that he's buying this animal for the purpose of eating the meat, so the seller could always say, I didn't think that you had any interest in selling this and buying this animal for meat. I thought you bought it for eating. I thought you're buying it to work with, and therefore I didn't have any Eisav Esbonai consideration. The Rabbeinu Tam quoted by Rashba, differentiates between a bull and a cow. A bull, he says, is usually used for plowing, a strong, healthy animal. A cow is more often purchased for meat. So he says, when somebody buys a cow, so there the seller has to assume that the person who bought the cow for the sake of shechting, and therefore first come, first serve. But when you buy a bull, that could be well assumed that it wasn't bought for meat. The Rashba disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says that even though, at least in those times, a bull was commonly purchased for plowing, but the assumption has to be that when a seller is selling this to the buyer, he's selling it without getting involved. Why did he buy it? He bought it for whatever reason he wants to buy it, and one of the reasons that he might have bought it is because he wants it for meat, and therefore, if the seller wants that he should be able to sell the other animal and be able to let the second buyer shecht it today, it becomes his obligation to make sure that everybody knows what is or isn't going on with these animals. It's interesting how the Sefer Chashuki Chemed uses the discussion that we're learning in this Mishnah regarding a very interesting question that he discusses. He discusses where somebody left a suit by the cleaner. And the cleaner, he comes back to the cleaner, and the cleaner says, and they can't find the suit. And the question is, what are the responsibility, financial, etc., from the cleaner to this person who left the suit? So he says that the halacha is that we should evaluate the value of this suit. So he says, let's say the suit cost $300, and this person who left the suit by the cleaners usually has a suit for 3 years. So that means each year is $100. If he had the suit for 1 year, the cleaner would have to give him $200. And that's what was accepted between the cleaner and this person. And the person went and bought a new suit. After he comes and bought the new suit, he comes to the cleaner to give him $200. He comes to the cleaner, and the cleaner tells him, guess what? I found your suit, and I have no obligation to you. He says, well, if I would have known you have my suit, I would never have gone to buy a new suit. I only bought this new suit because you told me that my suit was lost. What is the halacha? Does he have to pay or not? So he says that our Mishnah just taught us, them konim hasheni, as we've been learning, first come, first serve. So really, the person who bought the first animal should be the one to shecht it. If the second one used it, the second one jumped ahead and shechted the animal, he's okay, and he doesn't take any, and he doesn't have to reimburse. The halacha doesn't require him in any way to reimburse the first buyer who really had the right to shecht first. So here too, he could say, I didn't have to, I gave you your suit, and I don't have to pay you back the money because you got your suit. It's really not the same, because in our Gemara, in our case with the suit, the cleaner told him, yes, go buy a new suit and I'll reimburse you. Here, he never agreed to pay. The second buyer never agreed to pay the first one for the right to shecht first. On the other hand, one can make an argument that what would be if the cleaner has to pay him $200? He says, "Do you know how I'm going to pay you? I'm going to pay you with a suit." And that we know throughout Shas, there's a concept of Shava Kesef Kekesef, and you, and that's the way I'm going to reimburse you what I owe you. So it's no worse than giving him, even if you say, "I owe you the money, I'm paying it to you with this suit." So of course, there's an argument that can be made in both ways. Does this, but this person says, "If you would have given me my suit, I don't need a new suit. I don't have the funds for a new suit." But the Cheshukei Chemetz says that the din goes with the cleaner, and that the person has no claim for the money. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yosef Linyan Dina Tanan, that what we learned in the Mishnah is referring to a case when they both come to Beis Din. The two buyers are coming to Beis Din. They both want to shecht their animals that they purchased today. And the question is, who is the one that gets the right? But the Mishnah is not telling us that one is obligated, all the halachas that we just discussed. The Mishnah is not telling us that one is obligated to shecht on the day he bought, nor is the Mishnah saying that as the Mishnah actually indicated, that if the second person shechted first, so so be it. Tana, and in fact, says the Bryce, in Kodem Hasheni, if the second person shechted the animal first, Hareza Zoros V'nisker. So what does that mean? Zoros means that he was diligent, and Nisker, he benefits. What does that mean? Zoros means the Le'avri Suroi. He didn't do anything wrong. V'nisker, the Koyach Besser, he benefits that he gets to eat that meat today, which the other person, he gets the benefit to eat that meat, which the other person did not get that benefit. The Mesil Shisharim explains, what does Zrizus mean? He says that a person who's lazy is not somebody who's actually actively doing anything wrong. He's just not going to get the benefit of being a Zoris. And that's what our Mishnah is teaching. That's what this Gemara taught us also. This person got the opportunity to be a Zoris, and he benefited from being a Zoris. But of course, this is difficult to understand. If somebody is a Zoris in doing something that we're obligated to do, we have to daven. So you're a Zoris and you get up to daven early, or you're a Zoris to do a mitzvah. So that's fantastic. But this person that we are here describing is a person that did something which is against halacha. The halacha is, as we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, is that the first buyer gets the right to shecht today first. So this person who jumped ahead, why would we give him all this praise? And why would we call him a Zoris? So some suggest that when would it be considered they did the wrong thing in a case where the first person told him, "I want a shecht today." So since the halacha is, as we've been learning, first come, first serve, he gets to write the shecht first. Here, this person had no knowledge that this first person wants the shecht. And he had no knowledge that when he wants the shecht first. So he did what he thought was right. Other Achroinim explain the way to understand this Gemara is based on what we learned at the beginning of this sugya, that there's a difference in halacha where you buy the meat from one seller, when you buy the animals from one seller, versus when you bought the animals from two sellers. And we learned that when you buy it from two sellers, then there's no first come, first serve. And that's what this Gemara means to say. If the two of us bought these two animals, although it's a parent and offspring, but they bought it from two different people, so nobody has greater first rights in that case. Since no one has greater first rights in that case, says the Gemara, whoever jumps and shechts first is the Zoris V'nisker. Says the Mishnah, Shechet Paro, and somebody shechted a cow, V'akach Shnei B'nei, and afterwards, you shechted the two of his children. So you over oisav es benoi twice. So says the Mishnah, in that case, chayiv shayfik shmanim, you're going to get two sets of malchus because you over oisav es benoi twice. The Parash Yosef says that the Mishnah could have also given an example with a father and the offspring. But since he says, as we learned earlier in our parak, that is actually the subject of a machloikis between, that is the actually of a subject of a machloikis between Hananya and the Chachamim, so the Mishnah wanted to avoid that discussion, and that's why the Mishnah says the case of Pura and the children, where there's certainly an Issa Vaisa Espanoi. Shachet ben shnei bena, but if you shech the two sons and then shachta and then you shech the para, so you only did oisves benoi once, and therefore sifik sabayim, you're only going to get one set of malchus. Shachta, if somebody shechted a mother, and then afterwards you shech the bita, the daughter vaspas bita, and the granddaughter. Sifik shmainim, there's going to be two sets of Eisav Espanoi, because there were two Eisav Espanoi, and it's important to point out that even though there's a concept of B'nai Banim Arayim Kabanim, that grandchildren sometimes in Halacha are considered like children, when we speak about the Halacha of Eisav Espanoi, that isn't the case. Grandchildren are not considered like children. So there are two separate sets of Eisav Espanoi. So, Vaka Shachta as Bas Bita, if you Shach the granddaughter, Vaka Shachta as Bita, Soifik Saboim. Sumchsa Mishum Rameya, Sumcha says, you're Soifik Shnei Shmoinim. Because you did twice, you did the Isser of Eimu Bita, and then you did the Isser of Bas Bita. In other words, in this case, where you did it in this way, you Shachted the mother and the granddaughter, and then you shech the daughter in the middle. So actually what occurred here was there was a double Eisav Espanah. But even though there was a double Eisav Espanah, there was only one act of Shechita. And therefore, the Tanakhama holds, if there was only one act of Shechita, there's only one set of Malchus. But Sumchus holds that even though there was one set of, there was one act of Shechita, but there were two Eisav Espanois that took place here. And therefore, there are two Malchus. Why would this not be considered as the Chassam Sofer, Enes Echal al Isser? So says the Chassam Sofer, there's never a concern of Enes Echal al Isser when it's an Isser Boisev. And since by each one, when you shech the granddaughter, it affects other children or vice versa by the grandmother. Therefore, there's no issue of Eisav. Of Enisachal Alissa. Amai, ask the Gemara, it doesn't make a difference, we learn in the Mishnah, that when we talk about the Isser of Eisav Espanah, it doesn't make a difference in Halacha what came first, the mother or the child, the parent or the offspring. Says the Gemara, why would we say that? If we look in the Pasuk, Eisav Espanah Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, the parent and then the offspring. The Torah doesn't speak about the reverse order, and therefore the Gemara's question is, why are we saying that Eisav Espanah goes in either direction? And says the Gemara, it's not correct to assume that Eisav Espanah only goes in one direction. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Eisav Espanah lo sishchutu b'yayim echad. So that only teaches us the parent and then the offspring. How do we know it works in the other direction? The offspring and then the parent. The Torah uses the word loisishkatu, which is a lashon rabim. Harei kan shnayim. What does that mean? What is the Brisa coming to teach us? That the pasuk is coming to teach us. Echad shechet sapar avakach shechet esimay. Whether you shecht Achashach is a part of whether you shech the child and then the mother, or if you shech the parent and then the offspring, whoever does the second shechita is chayiv for Eisav Espanoi. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's the purpose of this pasuk? Isn't this needed to teach us the basic halacha, to teach us the halacha of Oisves Benoy. How can we say it's available to teach this extra halacha? And says the Gemara, if all the Torah was coming to teach us that, Im Kain, licht of the Torah just could have said, Loi Sishchat. Why does it say Loi Sishchat too? To teach us that it goes in either direction. But says the Gemara, V'kati b'boilei, we still need the Torah to write this in the Lashon Rabbim of Loi Sishchat too. Dikas Rechman Loi Sishchat, says the Gemara, if the Torah would have only said Loi Sishchat, Havamina, Chad Inna, the Torah says that there's only an Eser of Oisves Benoy if it's the same person who shechted both of these animals. Trey, Loi, but if it's two different people that shechted the two animals, then there's no Eser of Oisves Benoy. Kas Rachman Loi Sishchatu, that's what the Torah wrote, Loi Sishchatu, to teach us a feel Trey, that even if it's two people, whoever shechted the second animal will be Chayiv. Asked the Gemara, Im Kain, if that's so, that's what we needed, and we need the Lashon Rabbim. So how can we say the Lashon Rabbim is available to teach us? It doesn't make a difference in which order: parent first, offspring first. Answers the Gemara, Im Kain Lichtav Layishchatu. Then the Torah should have written the word Layishchatu. My Lois Sishchatu. Shmam Netarti. We learned two halachas: that the halacha of Oisav Espinoi applies both the parent first or the offspring first. And the second thing we learn from here is that it doesn't mean if it's the same person that checked the both of them, even if it was a second person that checked the second animal, he will be over this Aveira. We learned in the Mishnah, Shachta Vespita, that if somebody checked the grandmother and then the granddaughter and then the daughter in third, so we had a Machlaikis, how many Malkus will you get? Tanakama's opinion is that there's one set of Malkus, and Simcha said that you get Malkus because there were two occurrences of Oisav Espinoy here. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Amalei Abayla of Yosef, Ma Tama the Simchas. And what the Gemara is trying to suggest that there are two ways of understanding Simchas' opinion. Kasava Simchas, Ocho Shnei Seisei Chalef, if somebody ate Chalef, and we know that the shear of eating chalev, as by everything else, when it comes to an Isra Achila, is a kazayas. If somebody eats a kazayas of chalev, b'mezid, he's chayev karis, and b'shoig, he's chayev karim chatus. So, if somebody ate two kazayasim of chalev b'elam echad, then he did not recognize between the eating of these two kazayasim that what he ate was chalev, he's chayev shtei chatos. Because for every kazayis, there's a separate chiyuv. So here too, when you did Oisav Espinoy with two, you violated Oisav Espinoy twice. That's why you chayiv Malkus twice. And says the Gemara, "Ve'edinu de lashminin ba'alma," that the halacha should, this halacha should be taught in different places. And the way that we should explain this question, it's most understandable here why you chayiv Malkus twice, because we're talking about two different animals. But even when you're eating one piece, that you should still be chayiv two Malkus is ostensibly a bigger chiddush. So isn't that where Simchas should teach us his din? By the Kamashna Baha, why did Simchas teach us this halacha here? L'diach koichad rabbanan, to teach us how lenient the Rabbanan are. The Rav Gav, in the case that we're speaking about, there are two separate animals in consideration. Still, Rav Gav, the Gufi Mechalokim, the Torah, it's two separate people. Still, the halacha is Patri Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will say that you're chayiv, that you're only going to be chayiv one Malkus. The Rishonim debate is Simchas only is disagreeing in this case, or he's going to say when somebody shecht, what would Simcha say if somebody shechted two children of an animal and then shechted the mother? The first case of the Mishnah. What will Simcha's opinion be in that case? Rashi is of the opinion and Tosfos as well, that Simchas will say again, you did Oisav Espinot twice, and you'll be Chayiv Malkus twice. Many other Rishonim disagree, and their opinion is that in that case, even Simchas will agree that there's only one said Malkus. And the difference they explain is that in the case that Simchas spoke about in our Mishnah, we're talking about different parents and different children. So even though it was one act of Shechita, but they affect different parents and different children. And because they affect different parents and they affect different parents and different children, that's why he says, we'll say that you'll get Malkus many times over. But in the case of the first case of the Mishnah, it's the same parent and its children. In such a case, Simchas will say that there is only one Malkus. Rashi and Tosfos obviously disagree. And Rashi and Tosfos' opinion is that since it's you violated two Averis, if you violate two Averis, then you're going to be Chayiv twice for Oisav Espinot. Oidama. So that's one way of proposing how to understand Simchas' opinion. Oidama. But the other way of understanding is Kesavasochus, Simchas' opinion is, if you ate two Kesesim in one Helam, you're only Chayiv Achas. In that case, we'll only say you'll be Chayiv once. Here, our Mishnah is different because, as we said, by Shechting the mother, you're going in two different directions, and that's why it's Gufa Mechalakim, and therefore, since it's affecting different animals, then you'll be Chayiv twice, but not by different Kazesim. What would be the halacha that by if you ate two Kazesim, Behelem Echad, but they're from one animal? So most Achroinim are of the opinion that even though these two kazesim come from two different animals, but it's all chalev. And certainly when you're eating the chalev, when they're not part of the original animal, then it's all considered like one big animal. Amalei, so that's the question that the Gemara is posing. How do we understand the opinion of Simchas? Amalei in. Kesava ochoshnei kazesim chalev behalam echad, like the first way he learned chayiv shtei chatos. Says the Gemara Mamai. What makes us assume that that's the way to understand Simchas opinion, which actually represents a chumrah? Says the Gemara Mitznan, the Mishnah teaches us, actually a Brai says, Rei klayim, if somebody planted klayim twice, he's loikin, he gets Malkus. My loikin. Ilema, what, asked the Gemara, what was meant with this statement? My loika, ask them what was meant with the statement. Ilema loika achas, that he's going to get Malkus for planting klayim. Pshita, of course he's going to get Malkus for doing this. Void, my klayim. What was meant when he said klayim? What was meant when the Brisa said klayim? El pshita, it means that he's going to get two set of Malkus. So ask the Gemara Maiskinim. What is the case that the Brisa is telling us for which you will get two sets of Malkus? B'mai. Ilema, if we're going to say it's talking about B'zechazeh u'b'shtei esros, he planted klayim twice, once after the other, with two separate hasros. So says the Gemara Tanina, that is taught to us in a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah in Masechet Nozer Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph teaches us, Nozer Shai Yishayish Yayin Kol HaYoyim, if a Nozer is drinking wine all day long, and a Chayiv Al Achas, he's only going to get one Malkus. Amlai Al Tishta V'Shayisa, but he gets separate warnings for every time he drinks, then he's Chayiv Al Kol Achas V'Achas. So here too, that if you did two acts of planting Klayim, and you were warned separately each time, of course you're going to get two sets of Malkus. What is he coming to teach us? El pshita bebas achas. It must be that he did it at the same time, or basras achas. That you had one asra, and you planted once, and then you planted again, and he's teaching us, twice. Taisus Masech the Gittin asks why if the Nazir who's drinking wine is Chayiv Malkus. We learned in our previous year the concept of Hasra Sofik. So when we tell somebody, the Nazir, don't drink wine, what might happen is that even if the Nazir drinks wine and he violated our warning, still, the halacha is that Naziris, as we've learned many times, is just a form of a neder. If Naziris is just a form of a neder, so he could be shoyl on his Naziris, and then it'll turn out that he wasn't a Nazir. If it turns out that he wasn't a Nazir, so then he didn't do anything wrong. So there's always that possibility. Why shouldn't it be a Sra'a Sofik? So one Teretz Taisus Masech to get an offers is that we follow Rav, and most people who took upon themselves to be a Nazir don't have their Naziris revoked. Another Teretz that Taisus offers is that he has a Cheskes Nazir. And since he has a Cheskes Nazir, then it's not going to be considered, we don't view it as if he's not a Nazir. The Ramban says, a different Teretz, the Ramban says, you can't undo your Naziris. It would only be a Chacham who can undo your Naziris. Since it's not you that can undo your Naziris, it depends on somebody else. That is not, so then we have to assume you're a Nazir, and we can't assume, well, maybe you'll have the Naziris revoked. So here we learned that the way to understand that Braisa is it must be that there were two acts of doing climb with one Asra. Because if there were two acts with two Asras, we already have the Mishnah by Naziris, and there's no reason to teach this to us. There's no reason to teach this to us again. Says Ramani. So now I ask the Gemara, who must be the Tana of this Braisa? Ilam Rabbanan, the plague of this Slimchas. If we're going to say it's the Rabbanan and our Mishnah disagree with Simchas. So the question is, Hashta, Ma Hasam, if in our Mishnah, regarding the case of Daisav Espinoy, the Gufa Mechalakim, we were speaking about Daisav Espinoy from the grandmother and the granddaughter, Patri Rabbanon, still the Rabbanon say, there's only one Malkus of Daisav Espinoy, Hacha, with Klayim, where it's all one person doing it, like Koshkein, that there's only one set of Malkus, Elav Shmamino, Elav, who must be this Tana, Sumchus. Says the Gemara, Loi. Loi Lam Rabbanim. We'll say it's talking about, according to Rabbanim, and there were two acts with two Asras. If that's the case, the question is, so what don't we know already from Nazir that we needed to teach us? Again, by Klaim. Nos Agav Urcha Kamashmalon. The Mishnah over, the Brice over there is coming to teach us that there are two ways of violating this Klaim. Diket Trey Gavni Klaim. There are two ways of violating this Klaim. One, by planting wheat and grape seeds, wheat kernels and grape seeds, and the other is by planting barley and grape seed. Lefukim et Rabbi Yoshia, and the Braisa is coming to teach us that we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. Dom Rabbi Yoshia teaches us that you're not chayiv for klayim, achi yizr chitav v'soiv v'chatzam v'pelz yad, that you have to plant wheat, barley, and grape seeds. Kamash malon. That's why the Braisa has come to teach us the chizor achit of tzartzen. If you plant wheat and grape seed and sorev achartzen, or you plant barley and grape seed, nami mechayiv, that's also considered an act of klayim. So the Gemara has not proven what is Sumchas' opinion when you did what is the basis of Sumchas' opinion, one of Eira two Malkus. Toshma, the Mishnah speaks about the Gira Nosha. And the Mishnah, we're going to learn very extensively later in our Masechta, that if somebody, Rachman Slan, eats from the Gira Nosha, he's Chayiv Malkus Abon. Now, of course, every animal has two Gira Noshas, the right side and the left side. Ocham is a Kazayas. If somebody ate a Kazayas of one, Gira Nosha, umizek Kazayas, Soifik Shemoinim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Soifik Elis Abon. Rabbi Yehuda says you only get one set, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you're only also with one of the two Gidei Hanosha. So says the Gemara, exactly what is being discussed in that Mishnah. Hey, dummy. Ilayim bezach is a b'shtei esra that you ate a kazayas of gidanasha. You got a straw, not the kazayas gidanasha. You ate it, and then you got another set of a straw. You got another straw, and then you ate it. Bezach is a b'shtei esras. So ask the Gemara, my time in Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say only chayiv once? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it shouldn't be chayiv at all. Because you ate first, you got a straw for the right gidanasha, and then you got a straw for the left gidanasha. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know which is the gidanasha that you're chayiv for. So each hasra is going to be a hasra sofik. V'sheminalei Rabbi Yehuda, we know Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, and we've been discussing this, that hasra sofik l'shma hasra. So each hasra is not a valid hasra. Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that hasra sofik is lo shema hasra, the Tanya? The person has a sofik, who is his father? There were two people who had relations with his mother, but we don't know who is his true father. Hikazev, chazve hikazev. We know there's a serious issue in the Torah to hit a father. Kilazev, chazve kilazev. Or shikil shneim bas achas. Or shikil shneim bas achas. Chayiv. Because certainly one of these two people is his father. So if the person got a straw, what you're doing carries a chayiv misa, and he does it, he'll be chayiv misa. If he does it at the same time, so then it'll be chayiv zach zeh potter, because each hasra is a hasra sofik. Elo, pshita, how must we be speaking in that case? The Mishnah is that he ate both kazaisim, b'bas achas, or b'sra achas. So now, the Gemara has successfully defined that that Mishnah we're going to learn in Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph, that says that you're going to be chayiv one, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one set of malchus, that you ate the two kazaisim, the right and the left, with one hasra. So you certainly did the aveira, and that's why you're going to get one malchus. Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue developing this in our next year.